Hey guys, welcome back, or welcome to the Stable Equestrian. Today's episode is on choosing a riding instructor or choosing a riding school depending on where you're at. So I'm based in New Zealand. It might be a little different for me than it is for people in other countries. Most of this advice will still be helpful, but our riding schools work a little bit differently, I think. So if it sounds quite different, don't worry, different country, that is all. So, I'm going to talk briefly about choosing riding schools first for the people who don't have a horse or choose to go to a riding school with their horse. And then I'm going to go into actually choosing an instructor. Whether you're at a riding school or whether you're at a riding school and going to someone privately or they're coming to you, etc. So, with riding schools, here in New Zealand, I break them into two main categories. There's large ones and there's small ones. There's large ones with 7-8 different coaches, and there's small ones with 1, 2, 3 coaches. 3's even pushing it just that little bit. So the one that I run with my mother is a small one. We have 3 coaches technically, but I am the head coach. I coach most of the lessons, and we have an assistant coach who comes in and coaches every so often, like twice a week sort of thing. Well, my mother will come in and coach when I'm sick as needed, but otherwise she tends to just do the theory when it comes to our pony groups and stuff. So anyway, we're a small one. I was working at quite a big one a little while ago with about 7-8 different coaches. That's not including the people that had to come in when someone was sick. And so the biggest difference I found between the two of them, the two that I've had experience with, is one is quite homely. As much as we're professional, it's homely. I know all the kids' names. They know all of our names. They walk in, and we have a lot of kids that feel like it's their second home. A lot of kids that know all the ponies' names, all the coaches' names, can joke around with us, but it's all pretty chill. At the big one, I found when you walked in, you went to the office and no one really knew your name in it, even if you'd been there for a while. And your coach knew you, but the likelihood is that coach probably does quite a bit of lessons. Some of them, not all of them. And there is a possibility of switching horses a bit. They have quite a few horses, and this place had 30 plus horses. And possibility of also switching coaches, obviously dependent on the riding school you're at. So the positive of a big one, though, is that there's a lot of horses to choose from. If you don't vibe with a few that you've ridden, the likelihood is there's more to ride. And there's others to try until you find a few that you really enjoy. And there's a lot to learn. There's big ones and small ones and naughty ones and good jumpers and good dressage and all these different options. So you have a lot of options when it comes down to riding different horses. You also have different coaches. If you don't like one coach, you can stay in the same environment, same horses, and move to a different coach who might work with you better. Whereas with a small one, there is downsides. There is not that many coaches to choose from. Sometimes there's no coaches to choose from. Sometimes there's only between one or two. Some of them aren't really the type of places that you switch from coach to coach because they do different levels. There is also the fact that there's usually less horses. So, for example, depending on how many horses we have in work, sometimes they go lame, etc. We have about 7 or 8. That means less for the kids to choose from, less ponies who are capable of everything. Like maybe we have 2 jumping ponies. If you hate them both and you love jumping, it doesn't really work. So we have more than 2 jumping ponies. but some of them are smaller than others. Some riders can only ride the horses, and we only have two or three depending on who's in work. That's one of the downsides of being in a small one. It really depends on what sort of environment you prefer. We have had a few kids come from large riding schools, come here and feel more comfortable. And that's mostly on the basis of that they feel more important, feel more like stuff is more individualized, like we care about their progress. And that's not saying that large riding schools don't care. It's saying that that's how they felt at that particular riding school. And I enjoy that you walk into a small one and people know why you're there or know your name, etc., etc. Walk into a big one, likelihood is they don't. And that is totally dependent on what you consider big or small. For me, big ones are multiple instructors, a lot of horses. Small is less instructors, less horses. Some people take it on students. We have a large number of students spread out over the fortnight because we do pony groups, which includes theory. That means less riding, but they get to learn a lot of theory. Therefore, there are students, but they don't actually take an actual hour lesson. Therefore, we're able to do more with the amount of horses we have. So we have about 50 students fortnightly basis sort of thing. So they either come weekly or fortnightly, but we see them at least once during those 2 weeks. And then we have people who just come in for holiday programs or just come in for our camps. Now, we're based in New Zealand. Our riding schools are a little bit different from places elsewhere. And some places consider themselves equestrian centres, and so they may offer other things. They may offer breaking in, they may offer schooling, they may offer grazing. We offer grazing, but we're small. We don't have a lot of land, we can't offer too much grazing because otherwise we'll be filled to the brink. Whereas a lot of the big places, you're going to have a lot of people who have their own horses. There's a lot more people to make friends with. There's a lot more riders there usually. That's kind of how it works. And sometimes they offer more, sometimes they don't. And every place offers different things. That is the other thing. As much as I live in Wellington, there is only one riding school, which is us, in the small town that we're in. And when I say small town, I mean 10 minutes and then you're into the main place. So it's our little suburb. So in our suburb, we're the only riding school, but there's also a trekking place. But we don't do trek, so it doesn't really affect us. And there's nothing in our town either. And then you start heading elsewhere. So about 40 minutes out, you start heading other riding schools. And so we don't really have, I don't believe in competition. It's all community over competition, riding school instructor wise, because we're all different coaches, etc., etc. So anyway, there's a lot of riding schools where we are. There's small ones, there's big ones, there's middle-sized ones. We all offer different stuff. We have some that offer pony club. We have some that offer kids to go to shows. We have some with an indoor arena, some with an outdoor, some with no arena, some with lots of ponies, some with three ponies. It's all so, so different. The next thing I'm going to talk about is coaches. This can still be included if you're choosing riding schools and stuff. When choosing a riding school, look at the environment, what they offer, and the coach. And ask questions like, will you be switched a lot? And depending on the answer, do you want that to happen? Do you want to be switched a lot? Do you not want to be switched a lot? Do you want to have a say? Do you not want to have a say? Do you want to be switched coaches at all? Would you like to stay with the one coach? Do you have to do group lessons? Can you do privates? All those things. Will there ever be a chance to ride outside of the arena, or will you only be riding inside the arena? Do they cater to jumping? Do they have jumping ponies? Do they have dressage horses? Etc., etc. So with choosing a coach, it is, in New Zealand, not a lot of coaches have certificates. So to get a coach's certificate, you go through Pony Club or the New Zealand ESNZ, which is the equestrian sort of branch here. And you can get certificates for either one. I have one through Pony Club, but most people don't look at them, and you can coach without them. You don't have to have them. What they are good for is you can coach at more places. If you have your Pony Club certificate, you can coach at Pony Clubs and sign stuff off, and that's all good. The thing that people care more about here in New Zealand is more on an experience level, how long you've been coaching, where you coach, sort of thing. However, I do think that studying is really important. I really wish New Zealand had more opportunities for different sort of certificates. My aim is to go over to England and get a rider biomechanics certificate, which you can really only get, you can't get over here, so I'm going to go over there and do it, but I'm doing some online as well to help. When you're looking for a coach, I kind of went off tangent there. When you're looking for a coach, you want to be looking at a few things. If you're on your horse, if you own a horse, then go and give it a try. Go and try them, have a lesson with them, see how you feel. If you're going to a riding school, ask all those questions, find the riding school that you kind of like, and then try the instructor. Just take a lesson there. You, depending on your country, depends on qualifications and certificates. It's looking at things like most instructors have to have their first aid. And for some people that's important, for some people that's not. The main thing that I think is really important in a coach is they're supportive and they will help you or your child learn. The number one way to figure that out is to pop them in a lesson with them and see if they have fun and see if they learn. And a lot of in places where those coaches go to shows, so that's not as common in New Zealand, you don't see a lot of people with the coaches at shows. But if you do, and it's a coach that you're thinking of going with, watch how they, if they, whether they're riding or not, if they're riding, watch how they come out of the ring. Are they patting their pony? Are they happy? Or are they blaming the horse? Are they saying, I took a rough line, or, you know, I didn't have him in front of my leg enough? Or are they going, he was way too slow, he made a shoddy line, that was all his fault? You don't want someone that blames the horse, because no matter what, if you stay with that coach long enough, you're going to end up with the same attitude, and that's really not what you want. So you can watch them when they ride, you can watch them when they have one of their kids ride, and as much as all riders are different, and coaches can't control everything in a rider's life, I think that a rider sometimes is still a good show of the coach. I'm not talking ability wise. If they're doing stuff that is obviously wrong, like they're jumping 80 and they can barely sit their canter, like that's a little bit different. But focusing on the attitude, we took one of our girls to her first ever show. It was a 14 and under, which is a really chill show. My mother was running it and she took her because I was away, and one of our older girls, our helpers who does shows and stuff, stayed with her just to make sure she was all good, helping her tack up, everything like that. And obviously mum was still there to support her from the sidelines and all that fun stuff. And not only was she an amazing show of how, in general, happy she was just to be there. It was constant appreciation and praising her pony. She got very, very upset when at the end of the show, there was a few kids that were still on their horses and cantering up and down the showgrounds when their ponies had already done a full day's work. And there was one incident where someone fell off their horse and something happened. I wasn't there. I'm not exactly sure what happened, but someone fell off their horse or something happened and they ran and had to go get their horse. And our kid stopped and grabbed all the stuff that they'd left. So whether the bridle fell off or something happened and they'd left stuff, and picked it all up and went over and bring it back to her. And then she held her horse for her and helped out. And in all honesty, I think that's the biggest show of what a coach is teaching the kids. Every kid's different. Not all of our kids are gonna do that. Some kids don't think. But this kid's only 12, and she thought about that, and we can honestly say just like how proud that made us. And that's a show of what effect a coach can have on a kid. Before she came to us, she wasn't riding, she didn't know anything. So for her to know to go and help and to pick up their stuff, and she got upset when the people were working their horses way too long, and it showed where her morals lie. And that's just so important for us. So that's something you can watch out for. That's something you can see, that what that riding school or that coach's students are like and what they're like in the ring. I don't think it's ever a wise choice to choose someone who belittles their students. I don't think that's ever something that should happen. There's a lot of talk of, well, you're obviously not trying and all of that stuff, when if they're on the horse and they're doing it, they're most likely trying. And if they're not, there's probably a reason behind it. They're tired, or they've tried so hard that they've given up, and you have to figure out a way of amping that back up or changing what you're doing so they can keep trying. And the other thing to watch for when you go and have a lesson with them, or your child has a lesson with this instructor, is a few things. You don't want an instructor that pushes your kid too much. On personal levels, I think it's really important to earn that trust before you push a kid, saying, come on, I know you can do it first lesson, and this is stuff that the kid hasn't done before. I think that's pushing it, and I don't think that's okay. But there's a difference when a student has that much trust in their instructor that they can do whatever they tell them to do, and that's what you want. That's your ideal. Listen to your child if that's who's having the lesson and they say they don't like it or they do like it, because that's really important. You want them to like their lessons. And now, I don't think there can be a rule book on a good coach or a bad coach, being a good coach or being a bad coach, because every coach is different. I've had people who like me better than my mum coaching, some people who like my mum's coaching better than my coaching, some people who really don't mind. We coach pretty similar, but I'm quite technical, she's not. Some people prefer either way. I've had coaches I didn't like, but my friends liked it. Some are stricter than others. Some are what people would consider meaner than others. Some are softer than others. And I don't think there's any too soft, too mean. I think it's on a personal basis. You have coaches that vibe with certain students. I like being on a little bit of a personal level with my coach, as much as I want to see improvement as well. Having that personal level where I can happily talk to them and say, like, yeah, I've been struggling with this, and yeah, this has been hard, is so important. Finding a coach is the hard part. with the world we live in now, my biggest suggestions is A, go onto a local equestrian like Facebook page and ask whether if there's a specific thing you want to work on, like jumping or dressage, or what type of rider you are at, what level you're at. Say that, say you're looking for a coach in that certain area, and see what people say. Then you're getting people's opinions on that. There's obviously Google and all of those fun things. If you have your own horse and you're going to a local pony club, keep track of what coaches they have in, because most of those coaches will coach private lessons as well. Sometimes there'll be coaches that travel down or up, but a lot of the time they will be coaches that are local and take private lessons or run a school or something of that sort. And if you like their coaching, go give it a try in a private setting. If you think you might like their coaching but you weren't sure, go give it a try in a private setting. Private's are totally different to pony club. When I coach at pony club, I work on less. We keep it good. We focus on the big things that we need to work on and praise and things like that. It's a group lesson. I can't individualize it too much, and I am a pony club coach. I'm not the individual coach. Most of these kids have private coaches, so I'm not going to change everything that they're doing unless it's dangerous or things like that, because that's a lot to change in a group lesson if I only have them for half an hour, 45 minutes, and I can't focus on them the whole time. And so if you think you like them but your doubts are like, oh, I don't know if they fixed enough, or I saw a little bit of improvement but not a lot, I would still go and try a private, because privates are totally, totally different. I still highly encourage, even when you have a weekly coach or a fortnightly coach, to do clinics and do coaches that come and visit, because even though you can't stay with them, you can still, if you love them, you can still go to their clinics every single time they're around and they're near you. And that's how you find your new favorite way of doing something. Maybe a new coach you love, or maybe you're having an issue and your current coach is, you guys are working hard on a lot of things, but for whatever reason, there's this one thing that you guys just can't get through. And that clinic coach might just have the way of saying it that makes a click in your brain. That doesn't make your coach that you're with now any less then. It just means that that clinic coach said something differently. All coaches have different information. Go ride with different coaches. Try to keep that. I think having a singular weekly coach or fortnightly coach is really important. I wouldn't go mucking that around. But definitely do clinics and things like that. If there are people that come down for coaching, give them a go. Especially if you've looked up to them. I was having weekly lessons and I was highly encouraged to go to clinics. If your instructor discourages you from going to clinics, that is a red flag. Obviously, this depends. If it's just one sort of clinic and it depends on their reasoning, if they say, hey, you aren't ready for that height of that clinic, a little bit different. If they say, hey, just a friendly advice, I've had people go to this clinic before, I've been to this clinic, and this coach isn't that safe or whatever, that's okay. Saying you shouldn't be going to clinics or you shouldn't be going to other coaches for clinics and stuff like that isn't okay at all, and it's a major, major red flag. The other red flags are the at shows and blaming the horse, or telling students that they're not trying or that they're stupid. Other red flags are when they have students who have shown who do bad behaviours, like bash their horse or blame their horse too, because the likelihood is that's what they do. Not all the time, but That is the likelihood. And so this wasn't focused on certificates because obviously each country is different. This isn't focused on so much experience because I think you could be, you don't have to be a Grand Prix rider to be a good coach. Half the Grand Prix riders are bad coaches. You don't have to be at a certain level to coach. However, it's really important that the coach is still always learning. They can admit when they're wrong. They admit when a way isn't working. And it's really important to be a good student. Listen, try, don't automatically think bad things if they get something wrong because they're still human too. If you guys try something and it didn't work and she changes the way or they change the way that you're doing it, that's not the end of the world. There's multiple ways and you can't get it always right on the first try. Anyway, that was a little bit of a long episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully there was some tips in there a little bit. Definitely finding a good coach is very important. You want to trust them. You want them to be able to tell you something and you just do it without really any second thought. And most importantly, you want them to keep you safe and doing stuff that is suitable for you. And sometimes if you are a parent with a child, sometimes that's your job to just watch out for. I hope this was informative and I will see you next time. Bye.